Here's Merry-Go-Round, going round the services week by week, bringing music and fun to boys and girls in khaki and two shades of blue. To all you servicemen and women, wherever you are. This week, the predominating color is once again Air Force Blue. So now, with Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horne, their guest Joan Winters, and a supporting cast including an all-star RAF orchestra, the Royal Air Force takes the air.
Once again, we extend an invitation to you all to come with us on a flying visit to that famous RAF station in Loft Command, Much Binding in the Marsh, where waiting at the station gates with his usual escort of WAF SPs is our very own CO, Squadron Leader Richard Murdoch.
How do you do, visitors? Welcome yet again to Much Binding in the Marsh. I've already explained to you the sort of thing that goes on here, but in case you should ever want to come again, I'd better explain the best way to get here. You take a train from any station on the main line, change at Crewe, Flanthorpe, Possingbridge, Spursley Junction, and Blope. Here you detrain, get out your sandwiches and vacuum flask, because you have an hour and 20 minutes to wait for the bus to Spenfield Abbott. Please don't get too hopeful about the sign on the saloon bar at the station hotel at Blope, which says, back in 5 minutes, as it's been there, to my knowledge, since 1932. The nearest station to this camp is actually Little Binding Halt, but no train has ever been known to halt there. In fact, it's so near the offal factory that I doubt if any train could halt there long enough to let the people off. However, station transport meets the bus at Spenfield Abbott, and one could easily distinguish the station transport as it has RAF roundels on the shafts and yellow gas detector painted on the horse's neck. You should be able to arrive here within 48 hours of leaving Euston, and on arrival, you must report to the guard room. This is easy to spot. If you know what to look for, it's a converted lighthouse which became redundant when the surrounding country was reclaimed from the sea. You press the button marked A to summon the orderly corporal. He's known as Corkscrew Charlie on account of running up the spiral stairs so often. Don't on any account press button B, because we rather think it's connected to the air raid siren, and so far we've never dared press it to find out. Show the corporal your identity card. If you haven't got it, show him an old bus ticket. He'll never know the difference. And provided you give him a large enough tip, he'll show you round the station. He might even show you the Martello Tower, where the station band practices. Flying Officer Sidney Torch is on leave at the moment, so we've given him permission to put in a deputy. And here, then, is Flying Officer Peter York and his 16-metre band, and they're going to play a piece, the title of which I've forgotten for the moment, but it'll be jolly good. Thank you.
Well, by now you will have realized that Much Binding in the Marsh is an isolated district, but just how far from civilization you may not believe. To bring this home to those who do not realize what loneliness and isolation can mean, we are going to let you listen to an actual conversation between the CEO of the station, Richard Murdoch, and the AOC 8080 group, Kenneth Horn, at station headquarters, Much Binding in the Marsh.
Good afternoon, sir. I'm glad you've visited us today. You'll be just in time for the ceremonial march past.
Ceremonial flapdoodle, Murdoch. We've got to prepare for something much bigger than that.
But, sir, it's all arranged and the chaps have been practicing for weeks. The flag's been put the right way up and we've managed to issue nearly every man with a uniform of some sort. You'll be most impressed, sir.
But, Murdoch, haven't you heard the news?
Don't tell me Golden Firefly pulled off the 2:30 at Pontefract.
No, Murdoch, it's bigger news even than that.
Oh, put me out of my suspense, sir.
Well, it's like this. I was sitting in my dentist's waiting room this morning. I'd finished reading The Needlewoman's Guardian when I came across one of those newspaper things. And there it was in the stop press. Murdoch, it's come at last.
What has, sir?
Chamberlain has declared war on Germany.
Well, I must say, I've seen it coming. As soon as I saw that consignment of pikes arrive, I knew something was afoot.
I must say, my suspicions were aroused when I got a signal from command which read, "Much binding aircraft must be made serviceable, new elastic in post."
I suppose under the circumstances, sir, we'd better cancel the concert tomorrow night.
Oh, not at all, Murdoch. It's moments like these that the airmen's morales must be kept up.
Couldn't we use the elastic for that, sir?
Don't be ridiculous. You know what all this means, Murdoch?
No, sir. Surprise me.
Well, it means that a state of emergency exists. It means that every man must gird up his loins. It means we must all toughen up our sinews and man our posts with determination. This is war, Murdoch.
Is that egg you've got on your tie, sir?
Oh, by Jove, you're right. It must have slipped down off the peak of my hat. What are your reactions to this news, Murdoch?
Well, it's no surprise to me, sir. I always did mistrust the Kaiser.
This'll probably mean a food shortage, you know.
Ooh, it's started already. Only yesterday I went into Mrs. Cavey's everything shop at Little Binding to get a dozen bananas, and she'd only let me have six.
Good heavens, don't say I shall have to put up with pineapple for my elevenses again.
Do you think, sir, we'd better break the news to the men, or shall we let them get over the concert first?
Well, Murdoch, we mustn't upset them. If we want them to come into this war on our side, we've got to cajole them.
You're right, sir. You remember how peevish they were when we suggested compulsory saluting? I think, sir, if I may suggest, we might get a line on the men's reactions by breaking it to Costa.
Good idea. He always strikes me as being the epitome of the bulldog breed. Send for him.
Hello? Ask L.A.C. Costa to come in for a moment, will you? What's that? Oh, tell him he can pass par to his pin-up girls later. Never heard of such a thing.
Tell me, Murdoch, how do you think we ought to arrange ourselves for this interview?
Well, sir, you must definitely sit with your back to the light.
I think you might be nonchalantly scanning daily routine orders.
Yes.
We must put Costa at his ease.
Look out, here he comes.
Quick to our places.
Come in. Oh, it's you, Costa. What a surprise. How are your people?
Oh, nicely, thank you, sir. Mind you, Emily's had a nasty touch of her twinges again.
Yes.
Oh, I know the very thing for that. I came across a tin in the chemist yesterday. It's done me a power of good. It's called D-Digito. And its slogan is, "Try it out and notice the relief."
Well, I must tell Emily about that, sir. I'm very grateful to you, I'm sure.
Well, sir, I think you'd better explain to Costa why he's here.
Yes, sir. Now then, Costa. By the way, you're responsible for DROs.
Yes, sir, yes.
Do you realize you spelt canteen with a K?
Oh, Costa, how many times have I told you it should be C-A-N-T-I-N-E?
I couldn't apologize more, sir. I hope this is not going to jeopardize my chances of promotion.
Well, you know, if you don't pay attention to the small things in life, how can you expect to be a leader of men? Where do you think I should be if I'd spelt Lysander with a Y?
Well, I don't know, sir. I really don't know, sir.
Well, let that be a lesson to you, Costa.
Very good, sir. Is that all?
Yes, don't let it happen again.
Very good, sir.
I thought you were going to tell him about the war.
Oh, by you, Jophia, so I was. I am getting an old scatterbrain.
Oh, I don't know, sir. You're not very old. Shall I get him back again?
Yes, do. I think you ought to know how things stand.
Right. Hello? Send in Costa again, will you? Well, he can trim her edges later. This craze for photographs. Come here. Oh, it's you again, Costa. Tell me, how are your people?
Well, nicely, thank you, sir. Mind you, Emily's had a nasty touch of her.
Yes, of course. Now then, Costa, the AOC's got some very startling news for you.
Have I?
Yes, sir, the Gazines about his gills.
Oh, the Scrans?
You mean the kafloof about the gun.
Oh, of course. I've forgotten the seventh room.
Yes. That's right, sir.
I'll tell him when he comes in. Is there anything else, sir?
Oh, I don't think so. Oh, yes, there is, yes. I want to warn you, this may come as rather a shock to you. You see, this country of ours is an island. A piece of land entirely surrounded by
water?
No, thanks, I've just had a cup of tea. imagine Europe, a seething cauldron, a hotbed, a maelstrom, a turmoil. How are your people?
Well, very nasty, thank you, sir. Mind you, Emily's had a nasty touch.
The fact is, Costa, we're at war with Germany.
Will that be all, sir?
Yes, that's all.
No, it isn't. Costa, do you realise the implications of this?
Well, I've realised it now for about 5 years, sir.
What do you mean?
Well, if my memory serves me right, we've been at war with Germany since September the 3rd, 1939.
Well, I do think you might have told us.
Does anyone else on the camp know this?
Well, everyone but you and the AOC, sir. Besides, it's nearly over now.
Is it? Who's winning?
Ooh. Well, our side's winning. Oh. As a matter of fact, I'm hoping that one of these days I'll be getting back to Civvy Street.
Oh, well, I hope the wash and brush up man at Euston has kept my job open for me.
Well, I think we'll all get our jobs back, you know. The girl who took over my job at the Foreign Office says she never wants to work a lift again.
By the way, Costa, what is your civilian job?
Oh, well, I'm Amalgamated Airlines Limited.
Oh, Costa, how interesting. I suppose you'll be needing new blood in your firm after the war?
Oh, yes, sir. There'll be any amount of openings for the right type.
Well, you'll be needing highly placed executives, men with drive and initiative who are capable of making quick decisions.
Oh, yes, sir. The scope is absolutely unlimited for the right man, of course. Amalgamated Airlines Limited is the firm of the future, you might say.
Well, Costa, I must say I've always been very pleased with your work here.
Well, it's been a pleasure to work for you, sir.
I hope you'll be able to say the same thing about you one day, Costa.
By the way, Murdoch, is that corporal post still vacant?
Yes, sir, but we haven't been able to find the right man. But I think I can find someone who could fill the post if it were upgraded to sergeant.
You amaze me, Murdoch. Who do you mean?
Costa.
By Jove, you're right. Good heavens, why didn't we think of it before? Congratulations, Sergeant Costa. I expect your fellow directors of Amalgamated Airlines Limited will be heartened to hear of your promotion.
Well, this is all very nice of you, sir. This will do Emily's twinges a lot of good. It really will. By the way, sir, I'm not exactly a director of Amalgamated Airlines.
Oh? What are you?
Well, I work the lift. Good afternoon.
How are your people?
Well, now that the news of Germany's impending collapse has trickled through, the Air Officer Commanding and the Commanding Officer are determined that much binding shall play an important part in hastening final victory. All recreation has been stopped, and the order of the day is work and more work. Well, as is often the case, when people are called on to work for long periods at full pressure, tempers are apt to become a bit frayed. It seems like this is now happening in the CEO's office, where behind closely guarded doors, he and the AOC sit semi-submerged by documents and files of the topmost of top secrecy.
Oh, how can you expect me to agree to this?
But, sir, we've always seen eye to eye over things like this in the past.
Eye to eye, my foot. Here, Murdoch, is a document which will eventually reach command headquarters for the CNC's sanction. And you're asking me to be a party to it.
But, sir, everything's been arranged. The route has been worked out. Billets have been organized and transport laid on.
Well, it's putting me in a very difficult position. And I'm afraid my ruling has got to be a painful one. No, Murdoch, I can't sign it.
Very well, sir. I abide by your decision. I'll just have to take a 48 hours pass instead.
But, Murdoch, don't forget you promised to arrange your leave to coincide with mine so that we could go shrimping together.
Of course, sir. What must you think of me?
Besides, Murdoch, you must remember you've got a lot on your plate here at Muchbinding.
By Jove, I was forgetting the concert.
Yes.
I think you're quite right about the accordionist and the community singing. It should only happen once.
And then the chap who tells the story about the blue boot is, that mustn't happen at all.
No. I quite agree, sir. Come in. Oh, it's you, Costa. By the way, why did you leave these ARP instructions on my desk? Pretty stodgy stuff.
ARP instructions, sir? That's the winning entry for the Much Binding script competition. Oh. By the way, sir, there's a lady and gentleman to see you. Here are their cards.
Let me see. Miss Emily Forbes Atkinson, BBC, and Mr. Stuart Skrite, BBC.
BBC? What's BBC?
Never heard of it, sir.
Well, I suppose it's the Binding Benevolent Club.
Yes. Either that or bathing beauty contest. Show them in, Costa.
Very good, sir. This way, please.
Good morning. I suppose you're the two managers here. I'll come to the point very quickly. Briefly, it's this. We, that is, Mr. Skrite and I, represent the BBC. No need, of course, to tell you what that stands for, and no doubt you're already familiar with our activities. We understand, Mr. Skrite and I, that you're organizing an entertainment for your workers, and the BBC would like your cooperation in helping us, Mr. Skrite and I, to put over an entirely new idea that has been worked out by us. And when I say us, I mean, of course, Mr. Skrite and I.
Well, we'd very much like to hear this scheme. That is, when I say we, I mean, of course, the AOC and I.
Briefly, I'll come to the point again. Mr. Skrite and I, that is, the two of us, after a great deal of collaboration, have worked out an entirely new angle for a broadcast program. We have a mobile recording van operated entirely by Mr. Skrite, and I do all the organization. With regard to the program, I'll come to the point briefly. The title, I think you will agree, is very original. I might add, at the risk of blowing our own trumpets, and when I say our own trumpets, I refer, of course, to the trumpets belonging to Mr. Skrite and I, that Mr. Skrite and I thought of the title entirely unaided. The title is Aircraft Men Work Wonders.
Oh, fancy of you thinking of that yourself.
Oh, no, I didn't think of it myself. Perhaps I didn't make it quite clear. It was the result of a joint brainwave by Mr.
Skrite and I.
The idea is this.
Please come to the point briefly.
Yes, I'm a very, very busy man.
Well, in a nutshell, you are giving a concert. We have a recording van.
Worked by Mr. Skrite?
Quite. And we broadcast an excerpt from your concert provided entirely by local talent.
My word, sir, what an idea. Most original.
The BBC were lucky to get hold of Mr. Skrite and you.
It's quite a new idea, eh? By the way, you'll have to hurry up if you want to record our concert, because it's due to start at any minute.
Mr. Skrite sees to everything. He's dynamic.
Oh, pity. Perhaps our MO could do something for him. What about it, Skrite?
Oh, don't bother him now. He's too busy.
Pity he's such a chatterbox.
As a matter of fact, I've got the whole thing buttoned up and laid on.
Oh. Good show. Lay on, Max Skrite, to the naffy.
Now, quiet, everybody. Quiet, please. Now, you've got to do specially well tonight, as the BBC are going to broadcast the first part of the show. So, Sergeant Spicer, your stories will have to come in the second half. Now, quiet again, please, is the AOC.
Oh, thank you, Murdoch. Well, now, chaps, as you've heard, this show is to be broadcast. Now, don't forget the takeoff is 19:30 hours. Your target is the General Forces program, so I don't want you to drop any bricks.
My dear fellow, I do wish you wouldn't kick that cable. The plug's come out of its socket 3 times already. You really should know better at your age.
I'll give you a plug in the socket if you talk to me like that.
Don't upset Mr. Skrite, sir. You know how temperamental these BBC chaps are.
Now, don't forget, when the red light goes on, we're on the air. Now, where's the compere?
Sergeant Spagbracket.
Here I am, cook. Let me out. Don't all feel nervous.
Don't want to worry, Sergeant. Take a tip from me.
Now, quiet, everyone. It's coming up now.
Who is Mr. Skrite? Oh, I'm sorry.
This is the General Forces program. And now, from an RAF station somewhere almost in England, we bring you Aircraftmen Work Wonders. And here to introduce the program as your compere, Sergeant Bartholomew Stagbreckett.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The first item on the program tonight will be Corporal Bashett and his utility two-piece combination. In other words, the match-binding band. And talking of bands reminds me, the wife sent her nightdress to the laundry and they sent it back and said they didn't wash bill tents. And now, ladies and gentlemen, the match-binding band will tear off their first piece. And now I have much pleasure in introducing temporary acting unpaid Sergeant Coster, who will sing to you in his own inimitable boogie-woogie way.
For my first number...
For your only number.
Okay, okay. I surrender, dear. Okay, Corp. We play the game of stay away, but it costs more than I can pay. Without you, dear, I can't make my way. I can't really. So I surrender, dear, see? I may seem proud, I may act gay, but it's just a pose, I'm not really that way. Cause deep down in my heart I say, for the second time, I surrender, dear. Ah, but how lovely you looked on the malachite crucibles, yes, you really did. And the scent of the marlboro and the prawny gaze, so sweet, so lovely and smelly. And then you blarvy father on Tuesday night, what lovely rapture that was. And there was I, so flabby squeaker, so reaper flawed, it was terrible, it really was. When stars appear and shadows fall, why then you'll hear my poor heart call. For you, my life, my love, my fountain pen, my everything. I surrender, dear. Thank you very much. Yours sincerely.
The next item, ladies and gentlemen, will be LAC Pullet Conjurer. A most unusual act to broadcast, LAC Pullet.
I shall now perform a few feats of legerdemain. My first experiment will involve the use of an ordinary pack of cards. I'll shuffle the cards through and place them in this envelope. They are very expensive, these envelopes. I went into a shop to get them and said, "What do your envelopes run to?" The girl behind the counter said, "They don't run, they're stationary." Having recovered from your laughter, I would like you now to watch very closely.
I say, by Jove, dash good. I say, that's jolly clever. My word, that's an amazing climax. What an incredible place to bring a rabbit from.
Next, we have a sensational act. Two boys with guitar. Ladies and gentlemen, the Stink Pots.
Why worry? 'Cause you're stepping out. Do I worry? 'Cause you've got me in doubt. Though your kisses aren't right, do I give a bag of beans? Do I stay home every night and read my magazines?
Am I curious when the gossip flies? Am I furious about your little white lies? And when all our evenings end because you've got a sick friend who needs you, do I worry, honey?
You can bet your life I do. Why whisper green grass?
Do I worry?
Why tell the breeze it ain't true?
Am I curious?
Grass, don't tell the breeze, 'cause the trees won't lead at one.
For glamour, personified glamour with a capital J, it's none other than your own Flight Officer Rita Flannel.
The but I'd like to sing for you a song from Tom Jones. Fortunata, fortunata, let me dream out my dreams of delightful. Tra-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, fortunata, let me dream out my dream of delight. Tra-la-la, la-la-la-la-la, la-la-la-la, fortunata.
Is there any more to that song?
Well, there is, but I've only got page one.
Well, can you sing something else?
Yes, I can. I can sing some other time, not now.
Thank goodness for that. Goodbye.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, few of you know that in peacetime the AOC and the CO were famous saxophonists and dancers and were, in fact, well known on the halls under the title of the Puffin Brothers. We have therefore asked them to wind up the show tonight by playing their most modern piece. Ladies and gentlemen, the Puffin Brothers.
The leader of the AOC and I haven't played for quite a considerable time, so you'll excuse us if we tune up, will you?
Bang on.
Chums, for the time being, you've had it, but when we're next on Merry-Go-Round in 6 weeks' time, you'll all be very welcome once again at
Much Binding in the Marsh, where you will see our names upon the roster. At Much Binding in the Marsh,
there Richard Murdoch,
Kenneth Horn,
and Costa.
And this is me, Joan Winters, but before I say goodbye, I'd like to thank you on behalf of Mr. Sprite and I.
So cheerio, the time has come for all of us to fly from Much Binding in the Marsh. Cheerio, folks, at Much Binding in the Marsh. See you later at Much Binding in the Marsh.
Week by week, the Merry-Go-Round goes round the services, bringing music and fun to boys and girls in khaki and two shades of blue. This week was Air Force Week. Next week, the predominating color will be khaki. Today at Much Binding, our guest was Joan Winters. Residents, Denny Dennis, Sam Costa, and of course, Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horn. Peter York conducted the All-Star RAF Orchestra. The script was written by Richard Murdoch and Kenneth Horn, and the program produced by David Manderson.